CliffCentral.com.
All right. Let's do this. We are live on the last day of August in 2022. Yep. There's September, October, November, and then the end of the year in December. You have 4 months left. That is one third of the year left. Oh my God. All right. You sometimes need to do these numbers in your head to figure it all out. Only one third of the year left. You're just happy, dude. Listen, I mean, tomorrow's officially the beginning of spring, right? Even though it never really is in terms of the weather, I'll take it. I love it. We got Ryan with us this morning. We got Simpiwe coming in a second. Getting shit done this morning. We got lots to talk about, places to go, people to see, things to talk about. I'm really excited. We'll be talking. This is amazing. To someone later on who is a lightning pathologist, okay? I've never heard that this was, I had no idea that this was a job. This Professor Ryan Blumenthal is a senior specialist forensic pathologist, and his area of specialization is lightning. He will tell us about what happens to people who are struck by lightning. He'll answer all kinds of questions about lightning. He'll talk to us about what happens around a person who's struck by lightning, how regularly this happens, how you can tell something about the lightning strike just from the forensic and autopsy evidence. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing, amazing stuff. So he's going to be on a little later. Can't wait to talk to him. Also, need to hear from you this morning, so if you want to drop us a comment, you can do that. As usual, like and subscribe. Otherwise, you know, Doesn't count. People say, oh, well, we listen every morning. Great, but if you don't like and subscribe, you know, we may as well not be doing this. No, yeah, because they don't even know you're there unless you do that stuff, right?
No, you gotta rate us on whatever podcasting app you're on.
Damn right. Get onto it. Do it. ASAP. Well, we've got Ryan, and we've got Simpiwe. Here she is. Hello, Sims.
Morning.
Simpiwe has got a new her style, and I saw it yesterday at the office for the first time. She's looking very, very chic and zhuzh and terrific.
Thank you.
Yes, Ryan, your hair looks exactly the same. You look no different.
Yeah, no, I didn't have time to go get a haircut this week. Yeah. It's been wild.
So, where do we begin? There's a lot to get into this morning. We do have Revix a little later on, so we'll also be checking in with them to find out what is happening in the world of crypto, because a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just not moving. It's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I have to see what's happening over there. What's on your mind, Simpiwe? What's going on with you?
Well, besides being happy that tomorrow is a whole new season. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we call it summertime, though, even though it's spring.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
That is like one of the wonders in the world. I don't know how we got there, but I'm excited. People are going to be showing off their bodies, you know, shorts, mm-hmm. skin, partners.
I mean, it brings with it good and bad, right? I thought I was doing pretty well on the body front, but in the last week or two, I've been eating badly. I thought I was doing really well, so I'm not ready for spring day yet. I mean, I need a little bit more time, so I'll use half of September to just get back in.
You know what they say: if you have a body, it's summer.
I like that a lot. That's good. I'm going to go with that. All right. So let's get into some stories that are happening in the news. I mean, first of all, we have a new WhatsApp line that we're going to be running. So I want Ryan to explain this to you.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, it's great to read your comments and everything. But one of the things I miss that we used to have on radio is you could hear people's voices, right? And it's something that we used to have a WhatsApp line that people could send comments to before we went onto YouTube. And that was the main place that people would interact with us. And if this show wasn't live and interactive, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. I mean, I listen to lots of podcasts and, you know, plenty of people who they'll read an email from the show before or whatever. And that's good. That's all good and well. One of the things I like about doing this show, and it's sort of a hangover from radio, but it's also, it makes it different, is that there's this element of stuff that happens where we have people are commenting, people are taking the show in different directions. You know, it's not just one of those shows where I sit and interview people, although I do that as part of the show. It's also not one of those shows where we just do a live radio show and then turn it into a podcast. It's a bit of both. So I like the fact that we are able to interact with people, but one of the things I miss about it is that we can't interact with the voices. And what we thought is to create this WhatsApp line, because then you can drop us a voice note. You know, some people are driving, some people are busy doing 10 things in the morning. They hear us say something, want to comment, but you can't always type up a long comment. And it might be worth just dropping us a voice note. You might even want to do a voice note that, you know, might be a little bit funny. You might even want to do an introduction to the show. I mean, there are plenty of things that you might want to drop in as a voice note. And you can do all of that because we have a new WhatsApp line. So I'm going to put the number up on the screen, and you can add it to your phone, to your WhatsApp chats. And what we'll do there is just we'll check it every single day, and we'll see what people have to say, right?
And people must make it fun and creative, and, you know, we'll start off the show with one or two of them as we get them coming in. You received a voice note the other day, Gareth, for your birthday, which I thought was hilarious.
Okay.
If we could get something like that, I mean...
I must maybe play that for you, because it's...
You're putting pressure on other kids. Okay, wait. Other kids. It doesn't have to be this great, guys. You really don't have to strive for excellence in life. Bare minimum is okay. Just letting...
So take the number down. I put it on the screen. It's 071-783-6214. Just put it in your phone. You don't have to think about it again, because I'm certainly not going to be reading out that number 10 times a day. But once you've got it in your phone, especially if you're someone who's listening every single day and you're interacting with us every day, it's great to get the messages, but sometimes you might want to send us a voice note, which could be even more fun. 071-783-6214. Get it going, and we will be checking that every single day, both during the live show and afterwards, to see what we can play on the next day's show. So, you know what, add it to your list of contacts, then it's there, and when you want to talk to us on the GCS, you can just send us a voice note, 071-783-6214, starting from today. Cool?
And they can send it at any time.
Anytime you want, right.
We'll load it up.
You know, correct.
If we think it's fun.
Yeah, if we think it's boring and shitty, we're just going to, you know, ignore it and pretend we didn't hear it. But we will check all of them, so let us know. All right, while that's getting going, and while you're putting the number in your phone, we've got a couple of things here. First of all, Tracy says, oh, Meghan Markle, geez, she really has a talent for putting her foot and mouth into it. Recently, she compared herself to Mandela. Well, what she said was that when she was here in South Africa, how's that for? She's got some chutzpah, huh? She said,
okay.
She said to just to a reporter, you know, when I was in South Africa, this man came up to me and said, oh my God, Meghan, you know, you marrying into this royal family, it's just, you're like Nelson Mandela. You're forging new paths and you're doing wonderful things, and I'm just so proud of you. Now, there are two things about this that are really, really stupid. If you haven't noticed them already, let me elucidate. The first one, she thinks in her mind that this is something she should be telling other people. In other words, she believes it a little bit herself, that she's comparable to Mandela. So somewhere in her actress childish mind, she believes that it is warranted and it is correct, and it's a fair comparison to make between her and Nelson Mandela. She equates their value in the world. She compares her value to that of someone who spent 27 years in jail, spent his entire life fighting for a cause, suffered, you know, sacrificed, dedicated himself to a job in his 70s, which most people wouldn't be able to do in their 30s or 40s. And in her head, that's a perfectly okay comparison to make. So number one, she's totally out of touch. Number two, she then wants the rest of us to know about this. So she's not really humbled by this. If she was humbled by it, it would humble her to the point she wouldn't tell people. She'd be like, oof, wow. That's a really big compliment. I mean, the right thing to say to someone like that is, listen, let's just keep a bit of perspective here. Thank you so much. Sure, I'm married well, and I've been in suits, but I'm not the savior of the fucking world, right? So let's just calm ourselves down. That's what she should have said. But instead, she thinks this is something worth telling everybody in the world about because she wants us to actively think that this is what is a fair comparison in the world, her life and Nelson Mandela's. So she's totally out of touch, and it's not surprising. I mean, we know Harry's out of touch. He suffers from all kinds of problems, despite the fact that he had this extraordinarily privileged life and continues to. They both do. They're among the most privileged people in the world, but in their heads, they're victims, which is unreal because it means that they meet people like us or even people who are much more deprived, people who suffer a whole lot more, and they think, oh, shame, I know how you feel. They don't. They're totally, like, disconnected from reality. Nelson Mandela, Meghan Markle, and then, oh, the poor and the suffering of the world, and Meghan Markle. She thinks she can straddle that huge chasm. That's what
Did
we call...
Did you see Nelson Mandela's nephew hit back?
No, I didn't, but I'm amazed that she can straddle that chasm. Isn't that phenomenal that she can do that?
It is.
So what did Mandela say? Yeah, Simpiwe?
Well, if she's comparing herself to Nelson Mandela, then I am Oprah Winfrey, ladies and gentlemen, and please, please address me accordingly. You know what I mean?
But you know this happens, right? This happens to, especially to famous people, especially people who get famous when they're young. She is friends with Oprah, so she probably thinks that's her level. So she's operating at a level that the rest of us just don't understand.
Well, that's how she got on the O Network. Did that big interview.
So what did...
revealing everything.
So what did Mandla or Zweli Vilile Mandela have to say?
He hit back and said that Nelson Mandela spent X amount of time in prison. He spent 60 years of his life fighting for something he believed in. I'm pretty sure you cannot compare your relationship to Harry or your wedding to the release of Nelson Mandela.
What did you do?
Come on.
You just married a prince, honey. Simpiwe, you could do that with your eyes closed, marrying a prince.
I mean, come on now. I am Oprah. I'm giving out cars in my imagination, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. It's so wild. Like, No, don't do it, guys. If you have not served for 27 years, do not compare yourself to Nelson Mandela. If you've not done anything extraordinary that will leave you in the history books, you cannot say that I'm that person. Imagine the audacity to say with your chest.
This is the second time this week she's been in the news. I mean, for South Africa, like, get us out of your business.
Because the first thing was that story about how she. Archie was in some housing unit and it caught fire or whatever. She's really on this, like, she desperately needs attention right now because these are all stories that are coming from her, right? So she's obviously beating a path to, like, be back in the press because nobody cares anymore. Really, the truth is nobody cares. Anyway, so screw you, Meghan, and you continue to be a menace and a self-serving, attention-seeking pain in the ass and the worst representative of your generation that there is on planet Earth right now. You and your stupid husband, both of you. Embarrassing. Apparently, I don't know if this is true. So if you feel bad about like having a nap somewhere in the day, yesterday. So I was, you guys know, because we had our meeting at like 4 PM, right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally we meet at 9 AM. I was pretty much in meetings from 9 until we finished at 4:30, 4:45. And in the meeting just before ours, I was tired. I was like, you know, when you sit there in the meeting and you're like, you have to stop yourself from. And it wasn't a boring meeting. It was just, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And I often think, people who do a 9-to-5 and that's their regular thing. I mean, we do a 5-to-5, which is slightly more complicated thing, and sometimes a bit longer. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to do recordings. Sometimes Simpiwe is there until nighttime. You were even saying, Ryan, because Simpiwe is off next week, you're going to have to stand in for her, and you realize like how much she does in a day. But if you do take a nap, apparently you're not alone. You're in good company, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, listen to this. Which famous person who all of us look up to, and we know there's not a lazy person at all, but he takes naps, like a lot of naps?
Well, the only person. I was going to say Oprah Winfrey.
Takes 5 naps a day.
Cristiano Ronaldo takes 5 naps a day. Did you hear that?
Wait, how long are these naps? 5 times a
day? I would love to know how long they are because, I mean, he must do a lot. He does a lot of training, I'm sure.
So what? He wakes up at like 4, does training for 2 hours, then takes a nap, and
It could be little power naps. It could be, you know, sort of 20-minute power naps in between doing all this physical exercise. So he'll like do maybe some gym in the morning, and then after that he'll have a 20-minute nap. Then he'll do some running around the field or some jogging or some general cardio. He'll have a little sleep. Then he'll probably, you know, have breakfast. Then he'll do some more exercise. I mean, these guys are trained like machines, and he's arguably the greatest footballer in the world, or at least one of the 2 greatest footballers in the world, right?
Yeah, easily. And he says this is his, like, secret to success. It's like having 5 naps a day. And this has got me thinking. It's like, you know, what do other people do when you're not a footballer and you have to work a 9-to-5 or a 5-to-5 to keep, well, keep your energy up and stay productive?
There was that whole movement, you know, when these tech companies just had tons of money and everybody was still at the office. There was this movement to create little sleep pods where people could go and have a quick 5-to-20-minute nap, like a proper power nap. They wouldn't be able to sleep for longer than that. And you could book a little pod. I mean, I've done this before. Where I'll have, by the way, yesterday in that meeting where I was tired and I felt myself falling asleep, but I pushed through, and then halfway through the meeting, I was fine. I wasn't tired anymore. But your body is busy telling you, hey, listen, I need to just do something, reset, grab a few minutes of like time to recuperate or, you know, take a breather. And obviously you can't always do that. Do you guys think there's a solution? Because they used to have these pods in those tech businesses, you know, where everybody's coddled and, you know, you can go to the cafeteria, you can read a book, or you can do it all during office hours because they wanted to keep you at the office for long. Since COVID, I don't think people are doing that at the office anywhere, not even at Google or Facebook or any of those places. Mm. So if you're working from home, it is possible for a lot of people to now take a little power nap.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, don't they just schedule a meeting, you know, from 2 until 3?
Right. I know when I was in Sydney, like in 2017, before the COVID days, if you were in the promenade between like 12 and 1, these companies would hire jogging instructors and take all their employees out for a run on the promenade for an hour. Okay. And then they go back to work and then they go shower and then they get on with the day. And they said that it's actually, it keeps the productivity up by having exercise midday. Mm-hmm. And so if you were on the promenade as a tourist, you had to just watch up with these flocks of companies with their jogging instructors would come through. And I was just like, I don't know if I could do the jogging thing every day.
That sounds like indoctrination. You know, it's like these people who want when you join a company, they want you to recite like the value mission statement or whatever it is. And people, it's almost like you see the brainwashing happening. And like, we as a company believe that we must deliver a service, blah, 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 blah. I saw this happen once, and it freaked me out. I actually called my then manager and said, listen, that company books me for anything again. Just tell them no. Because it was like watching this. No, seriously, it was like watching this political re-education camp in full swing. But there are a lot of people who believe in these power naps. One of the people whose book I read about 5-6 years ago is Arianna Huffington. She says you've got to have a full night's sleep. You've got to have your 8 hours at night, which I don't think, if I get 8 hours right, 10 times a year, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, mostly it's 6 hours. Mostly. But if you can do those power naps and you could be disciplined about it and you could figure out just how much time you need, and for some people it is 5 minutes, for some people it's 20, but you've got to keep it like under an hour. I think the longest you can still call it a power nap for is 45 minutes. And if you could do that properly, then maybe this is Cristiano Ronaldo's secret. Maybe this is what he does, you know?
And he's 38. I mean, for a footballer, he's reaching the end of his prime.
Isn't he supposed to be retired already? Like, wow.
He's one of the few. Like, he should be. I mean, there's another guy, Ibrahimovic, who just signed another contract at the age of 42. He's one of the fittest people there.
He's not a goalkeeper, right? Like,
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a striker. But I'm just saying, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, even though he's 38, he's fitter than most of the people in their 20s on that team.
Absolutely. No, listen.
Wasn't he the same guy during COVID who came, like, before COVID, he did a test, like a fitness test, and then, like, after COVID, he was, like, way healthier, way fitter. Like, even during lockdown, he was still working out at the same intensity.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, shout out to him.
I think there's a reason when you're the best. There's a reason, you know, how you get there.
That is true. And he looks like he's fit as hell as well. I wouldn't want to challenge him to a race around the track. I think he'd destroy me. So Lucky says, my interview with Larry Elder has been removed by YouTube. Yeah, I noticed this. So I went through the interview yesterday with Greg and Dari, and we were looking at why they could have, because they took off the video because of community guidelines, you know, violation of community guidelines, which could mean anything. But really, I think that the reason they took Larry Elder's interview down was because he's a conservative, a black conservative in America. And that point of view is just not popular with, you know, the lefties who run YouTube and Google. So we've appealed it because Larry Elder is now, he may be running for president. He actually announced that on the show. So it was quite a big deal, and people all over the world will want to see that interview. And YouTube just don't like his political views, so they took it down. So we are appealing it. We'll let you know how that goes. You can still listen to the podcast here and, spread the word to everyone else so that they can also come and listen to the podcast, because we won't take it down. We've taken down nothing. We don't even take things down when people threaten us legally. We do not take anything down on Cliff Central. So come and have a listen. Once we've recorded it, once it's there, it's there, and you can listen to it anytime you want. You may not be able to watch the interview on YouTube, but you can listen to it on Cliff Central. So come and do that ASAP and spread the word. We want people to hear it. If this guy is going to run, even if he doesn't win, he'll be an interesting candidate to watch during the elections.
And just to add on there, Garrett,
yes.
They removed the interview where it was just you and Larry, but if you still want to watch the video, you can watch it when we played it out. So the 2-hour-long video on the show, I think it's called Quiet Quitting. Quiet Quitting. That's the title. You can catch the video on there.
Screw you guys. You didn't figure out that we already had it there. Exactly.
So we still got you guys.
We still got you.
Yeah, you
speaking
of... with somebody who reported it.
Yeah, it is someone. It's probably someone from the U.S. who doesn't like Larry Elder, because that's what happens in America. You know, people are employed basically by either, you know, these kind of powerful NGOs or whoever on the left or the right. And they're actually given money to go onto the Internet and scour the Internet for their political opponents and have them taken down. So that's probably what happened. In other words, it's got nothing to do with us. It's got more to do with the fact that someone doesn't like Larry Elder. Dear Linda says, morning, I saw your interview last night with the South African-American. That would have been Joel Pollack at Breitbart. He's the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News. They asked me to talk to them the other day. And Breitbart's a pretty important and impressive news organization, started by Andrew Breitbart, who was this incredibly talented man who decided that what he wanted to do was dedicate his life to getting people to talk to each other. To get people from opposite sides of the political spectrum to understand each other, to be civil with each other, to talk about things they disagreed about, things they did agree about. You know, and in America right now, we could do with more people who think that way. Anyway, Andrew Breitbart died a few years ago, and His news organization continues, and it's tremendously successful. It's got millions of people who log on, listen, subscribe, download every single week. And their editor-in-chief is a guy who was born in South Africa, Joel Pollack. I've actually interviewed him on my show. And he asked me to come onto his show the other day, and I thought, well, what the hell? Why shouldn't I, you know, go on there and talk about South Africa for a little bit? And Diolinda says, I really loved the way that you talked about South Africa. Your positivity filled my heart. Well, you know I'm an optimist. And you can go and listen to that interview, too. I think I put the link up on my Instagram, and it should still be up now. So if you go to GR Cliff on Instagram, you'll find the link to the interview I had with. We were meant to talk for 20 minutes, Joel and I. Ended up speaking for an hour. So if you want to go and take a look, that is up as well. Put the number up again, please, says Gene. All right, Gene, here it is. Okay, calm down. There it is. 071-783-6214. That's the WhatsApp line. Okay, take a look. Go and join in. I want to hear your comments. Let's see what you have to say. All right. Basitsana says, good morning, guys. I'm wondering if you can assist. I've hit mid-level 30s. Well, in other words, Simpiwe and Ryan can't help you. I can. And now I have random body aches. What the fuck do I take for this shit? I'm sorry. There's nothing you could do. That's probably because you slept badly. You know, when I was 20-something, I would fall down, or I'd hurt myself in the gym, or someone would crash into me in contact sports or something, and I'd be sore for 15 minutes, and then I'd be fine. Now, if I just sleep badly or my pillow isn't the right pillow, I wake up the next morning looking like a zombie. So sorry, Bastana, there's no way for me to explain this except to say that this is what happens. Sorry. You just got to get used to it.
You guys are doing a great PR job of getting older. Like,
there is no way.
Not glamorous at all.
There's no way to spin this.
I don't want to do it.
I can't make it sound better when it just isn't. I mean, here, Congo Chris says the same thing. Yeah. Basitsana, there's nothing you can do. This is your life now. Your bones are going to ache every day, and your hangovers now last 2 days. Welcome to your 30s.
So people are now close. This is scary stuff we're hearing.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, this is... You know, I don't like the PR job about getting older. I really don't.
Sorry.
I'm ready to stop here at 20-something. Yeah, I don't think I want to... Random body aches.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Especially the neck or the back. For a whole long time last year, I remember I had like this pain in my thigh. It went from my ass muscle right down to my knee. But for like 2-3 months, it was unbearable. And I thought, what the hell's going on with me? And I didn't go to the doctor. I just thought, let me ignore it. Eventually, it just went away. So it's not there forever. It's not like it just stays and gets worse. I mean, maybe one day it will. But it's there and then it's gone. So you just have to deal with it. You just have to deal with it. It's there. Steve says, in response to the nap, 15-minute small reboot does help. And Congo Chris says, in the 70s, they just did coke. Nobody ever slept in the office. Probably true. No.
Oh, no, man. No.
All right. Well, Gareth, is the interview with Larry on podcast? Yes, it is, Marty. So you can take it there. I really hope Larry Elder becomes America's first black president. Well, they've had one already, but yes, I hear what you mean. Thank you, Corona's boring. Gareth, you have to do a 30 minutes of What's Wrong with YouTube, and don't forget to like and subscribe. Ugh. If I started that.
Might be an hour.
Well, also we'd be kicked off of YouTube forever. So I can't do that. All right. Seriously, I found those Outback relief capsules really work. Great for old dogs. My 14-year-old is walking around a lot better. Wow, is that like veterinary medicine that you're giving yourself? Please don't do that. Okay. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So a couple other things. Apparently concerts are also opening up again. Of course, Justin Bieber is coming to South Africa. Who else is coming? Do you know?
I know One Republic's definitely coming. I think they're coming in November. And then, if I'm not mistaken, Barrett was telling me that is it Imagine Dragons? I think are coming in February.
Hmm.
So okay. Slowly but surely, the international acts are coming through again.
Cool.
And there's a lot of events going on. I saw you put up an event on your Instagram yesterday, Gareth.
Yeah, I'm going to this thing on Saturday with some friends. They decided it was like an elongated idea of what a birthday should be. So on Saturday, I'm going to this thing. It's in Santon. I've been once or twice before, and it's really good fun. It's like an outdoor sort of party, and they have DJs, and it starts in the afternoon, and it goes on until the night. It should be good fun. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be doing this Saturday. Should be great.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Ryan, are you going to the Justin Bieber concert?
Yeah, I bought them last year in November. And so I've been waiting for, I think it's October 1st.
Okay.
So that's when he's coming. I think it's at the FNB. He's doing like a night in Cape Town and a night in Joburg.
Sting is apparently coming too. That's quite cool. That's for the very old people.
I saw.
But Sting is awesome. I mean, listen, I would love to go and see him. I don't know that I want to go and see Bieber again. I saw him when he was out here last time.
Which one? Because he's been here for the Believe tour and the Purpose tour, I think.
I don't remember which one it was. I think it was the first time. I don't know. How long ago was it?
Oh, man. I think the Purpose tour was 2017, and then I think the Believe tour was like 2014. I think it was like when I was in high school.
One of those. I went to one of them. I was meant to interview him. I was meant to there was a meet and greet, and I arrived late. So I felt like such an idiot. No, because there were people. I mean, you can imagine how many people would have wanted to meet him. That was at the height of his fame. He was he was the world's, you know, most successful artist at that point. And Atti van Wyk of Big Concerts had arranged. Like, if you just arrive a couple of minutes early, we'll fetch you in this golf cart. We'll take you into the green room, you can meet him, we can do a picture, all this shit. So I was like, oh, yeah, cool, fun. Then I suddenly, I thought, because the one thing about these concerts, like, you know, at FNB, it can be such a nightmare from a traffic point of view. And
oh man,
even if you get Ubers and things, you get stuck in traffic and all of that stuff. So someone offered me a helicopter ride.
Oh, that's so, even better.
I know. So I was like, okay, great. I'll take the helicopter and then go and, you know, meet Justin Bieber. It'll be like, ooh, I'm a big fucking deal then. So
Isn't that the concert he got robbed? Like they took everything?
He got robbed?
Yeah, South Africans.
Yeah, didn't you see in, I think it was the first concert he ever came here. They actually robbed all the money.
No, man. That was
while he was performing.
No, it wasn't his concert. There was someone else's concert. But yes, there was a robbery where they actually. No, it wasn't his. Anyway, so I got onto this helicopter at Grand Central. Flew through. It was amazing. You get to see all of Joburg. You see, and then when you land, everyone thinks you're a like huge star, right? Because they're like, ooh, this person must be important. They're coming by helicopter. So felt very important. And then by the time I got to the stadium, it was too late. He went past me. He went past me on this little cart. They're like, hi. I'm like, oh, shit. I think I missed this. Anyway, I mean, that was, listen, it's, at least it's a story. So whenever I think of him, I'm like, not gonna.
Helicopter, yes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, what a way to arrive at a concert, by the way. It's just amazing. Everybody else is like sitting in their cars, grumpy as hell. They're like, oh, we've got to do this again after the concert. And I'm like,
cheers,
dog.
So what is the story here? Because Carl says, I thought we'd been spared Bieber because of his face paralysis. I mean him no ill, but it's enough, man. Is he okay? I mean, can he perform?
Yeah, no, he's back now. I think they started kicking off the tour again like last month.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's back to normal. But how freaky was that?
Yeah.
Face paralysis disease thing that he had. That was crazy. I've never seen that
before. Is he okay, like back to normal, or is this something he's going to deal with his whole life, or do you think it was just like a one-off crazy thing that happened? So
I understood it as a one-off thing. I don't actually know.
Hmm.
I've never heard of that. Like, when he posted that video, it was so weird to see, like, how his face just didn't line up with anything that was moving. It's something I've never seen before.
Not fun, hey? He's also getting old. See? This kind of shit happens. Simpiwe, lots to look forward to. All right. Let's look at some headlines. What do we have in the news this morning that's worth looking at? Okay, so first things first, there is a story going around about, you know, that Inventing Anna show that was on Netflix, which is all about this woman.
Which I absolutely loved.
Yeah, it was this. You tell the story about this woman who kind of, she basically just fooled all of New York.
Yes, the A-listers of New York, saying that she's from this wealthy, I think, German family. And she basically really ripped off people in the millions. She got them to pay for her holiday, her accommodation. And yeah, like I think this was like one of the greatest heights of all times, because she did it. She was a nobody. And overnight, everybody knew her. She was popping on Instagram. All the celebrities wanted to be her friends.
Right.
And she was just traveling the world, but no one really knew where she was from. And she was just like, I'm from royalty, and, you know.
So they cast,
yeah, she scanned everyone.
They cast someone called Katie Lowes as the main character in this 9-part series. It topped Netflix's English language TV ratings for 3 weeks, was nominated for 3 Emmy Awards, but she's now going to go after them. Because she says, as a result of Netflix's false portrayal of me as a vile and contemptible person, I have been subject to a torment of online abuse, negative in-person interactions, and pejorative characterizations in podcasts, like this one. They added in the submission that she'd received thousands of abusive messages and that her catastrophic damage to her reputation was completely avoidable. They said she does not challenge Netflix's right to have an unpleasant character in the series, but if it chose to base the character on her and to portray the character like that, it should have given the character a fictitious name and changed the character's identifying details so that no one could believe the character was a portrayal of and concerning the real Rachel Williams. Netflix gave fictional names to many of the real-life protagonists, but they did not afford her the same protection. Instead, they used her real name and personal details in the series and cast an actress who resembled her in many ways. So she's going after them.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
How's that, huh?
Good luck with that.
We will
but
see.
If she does win, she's going to walk away with a fat settlement. She's going to be good for the rest of her life. She won't need to worry about defamation.
If she wins, if she does win. But I mean, what's she going to sue them about? Is any of it untrue? If it's true and it's in the public interest, she's not going to win. And then she's going to be even poorer.
And she'll be that girl who sued Netflix for what?
You take your chances. So apparently they're going to open up the fifth casino in the Northwest, as if that's what they need, right? So South Africa's Northwest province is home to the country's best-known casino, Sun City. May soon have its fifth and final gambling hub. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Apparently... Sun City is not the only casino in the province, and it's not the biggest. The title belongs to the Rio Hotel, which is a casino and a convention inspired by the carnival in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro. Now, that's funny because the Northwest province is nothing like Brazil. But anyway, if you're looking for the Rio Hotel and you've never heard of it, it is in Klerksdorp on the N12. Instead of being on the Copacabana Beach...
Whoa!
It is on the.
I'm so confused.
N12.
Where are we now?
We're in the Northwest. We're in Klerksdorp. Okay, not in Rio, but they have.
Okay.
They are one of the biggest casinos in the world. Did you know that? Way bigger than Sun City.
Sure.
There's also the Mabatu Palms in Mahikeng. The Northwest may soon have a fifth casino, equaling the amount held by the Western Cape. The Northwest's total population is half of that of the Western Cape's. Northwest Gambling Board has decided that they're going to issue another casino license. They're going to do a feasibility study first, and apparently they're going to add this one to the list. So let's see what happens. That's what they need, I suppose. another casino in the Northwest. Terrible idea.
Okay.
Terrible idea. Apparently, these are the latest crime stats from Becky Taylor and Company. More than 1.4 million home break-ins and robberies from 2021 to 2022. Household crime increased by 14% compared to the previous financial year. About 2.2 million households experienced house break-ins in the past 5 years. So that is a lot. That's a huge number of houses that have been broken into, right?
It's unbelievable. Go. What do people do if they don't have private security?
You just wait. You just wait for someone to break into your house. Sit in your lounge.
I've never called the number. I mean, we used to use the police back in the day, but I don't know if you'd call now. I don't know if they'd get there.
No, nah, good luck.
No, anyway, they won't.
Good luck.
Our police station's not closing at certain time because they're getting robbed. So you're on your own. Like, you're honestly on your own if you get robbed, if there's a house breaking and you decide to deal with the person that actually invaded your house, then you're in the wrong because how dare you protect your own property? It's just a mess. Like,
I know in my area, like, it's the private security companies you call if there's any suspicious activity going on.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that actually go and, you know, sort out the situation and hold the people there for when the cops arrive. And it's like, you know, they might as well just be cops at the end of the day. They're better than the cops.
Well, they are. But we have more private security people in this country than we do have cops. You know that. We have more private security guards than we have cops. I don't think there's another country in the world that can claim that. I'm not sure, but I just find it
crazy.
Yeah, it's madness.
Especially because how many security companies we also have. Have you ever thought about that? When I went to the U.S., like, there's not that many.
No.
Because it's safe.
You can make so much money if you own a private security company.
Oh, hell yes. I mean, private security companies also have more guns than the police have guns. This is why, you know, the police have to tread this very careful line because they're like, oh, we don't want people to have guns. Meanwhile, the private security people have more guns than the police. And if it came down to like a war between private security and the police, the police would not win, I'm afraid.
No, they're at all.
No.
Yes. And you know what our policemen are doing? They're on TikTok busy doing dance challenges. Like, I'm so mad. I'm actually upset. Like, whoa, I need to get this off my chest. There's a guy on TikTok, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was cute, like the first video, like different professions hop onto different trends, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was the Jerusalem trend that everybody was hopping on, nurses, yes. Doctors. So that's fine. So I saw like this video of, I think it was 3 police people, no problem. And then like after a couple of weeks, I start seeing the same guy doing these dance challenges. And I'm like, hey, Lang, aren't you a policeman? And then I go check. He'll be doing dance challenges in his uniform. Like, no, sir, please go protect us. Stop dancing on TikTok. Like, I don't want to see that. Stop it. Like, stop. Stop. Get off TikTok and do your job.
Right.
Like, really.
My worst. I'm with you. Like, I can so sympathize with how angry you are. I feel exactly the same way. I didn't like it when the doctors and the nurses were doing that during COVID. Do you remember? I was like, stop it. You're already getting all the love and attention from people because you're saving lives, blah, blah, blah. That's your job. Do your job. Stop trying to look for attention on TikTok. In fact, anyone who's doing that, if you're not just some, like, loser TikTok influencer, don't do that. Just stick to your knitting, you know? Listen to us. We're so grumpy.
I just don't feel safe anymore.
We are so grumpy.
How are you going to protect me doing a dance challenge?
Yeah.
Stop that. Some professions, I'm sorry, don't. Once or twice is great, but for you to constantly be on TikTok, just you're not even giving us like, oh, how to protect yourself. Maybe I'd understand. Then I'm like, okay, you're sharing like vital information. You're dancing, chief. No.
Right.
Please go out there, do your job.
Right. So Carl also says that a private security guard was the guy who won the comrades. That's impressive. Imagine a fat cop trying to run that race. Yeah. Even more reason to celebrate the winner. That's terrific. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was his job. Okay. All right. Very
good. Did you see there was also a guy who ran the comrade to ask Prudence to marry him? When he got to the finish line, he held up the sign that said, "I ran the comrades for you. Prudence, will you marry me?"
Shame.
I think she said yes. She replied on social media and she said yes.
Shame. I'm sure
he was on his knees because he was tired.
Yeah, I couldn't. Shame. He probably. It's not a great place to like ask someone to marry you. You don't look your best. You're sweaty. You know, it's not great. I can't watch the comrades, especially those last people who roll in. I've always hated it. It's depressing to me. These sad people who've like done 10 hours of running or more, and they like struggle across that line, and it's just so. Sound like such an asshole.
The best part, Gareth, especially the last hour.
It's so pathetic. Because
I don't watch it for the first.
It's so pathetic.
The fit people. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You guys are you're going. You're showing us that we all are just. You know, basic human beings. And then you watch it in the middle where people are really walking and you're like, are you going to finish? And then it's that last hour and you see the people and you're like, you've been on this for 12 hours, dude. Wow. And then they're like, no. Or when it closes and they're crying and you're just like,
that's so pathetic. It's the worst thing to watch.
It's the best time to watch.
Oh, I can't stand all those terrible people at the end of the comrades. It's the most awful thing you can imagine. These fat, unhappy, sad, their joints are aching, they hated every second of it, and they're like, look at me, I'm going to make it, and then they don't. They close the thing just before these people, you're like, you asshole, you just wasted a whole day of your life, and you'll be so sore for the rest of the year. Terrible.
Did you also, like, two things. Firstly, did you see the way I was saying to some people yesterday, the way they managed the comrades, I thought was a bit unfair. Did you see the steps they had to climb up when they finished the race? Half of those athletes couldn't get up then. There was like a video that was put up yesterday.
Don't talk about unfair. You must not feel sorry for people who, bad things happen because you deserve them. I'm not a religious person, but it says in the Bible, only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him. Enough of this.
Yeah, also, I also don't feel sorry for them. I'm just like, you know what's up. You know it's time to go home. And if there are a couple of stairs and you don't have the energy to get yourself up those stairs, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel sorry for them. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Nope.
Did you see that one TikTok? I saw it yesterday. There was some guy filmed. There was a drunk guy drinking a beer at the end and just tuning the runners as they were like running past. And, come on, fuck them in. What are you doing?
That's great. That's terrific. Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
That's my kind of entertainment.
Sanella says four people died and 75 collapsed. Stop doing this then. Stop it. Unbelievable. What a horrible way to die, too. You're like exhausted. You shat yourself. Horrible. Just so undignified. All right. Let's get to the thing that everybody's talking about at the moment. We have got to talk cryptocurrency. And to help us do that, none other than Sean Sanders. Revix allows you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. Here to tell us more on this Wednesday morning is Sean Sanders, the co-founder of Revix. Hey, Sean, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you guys all doing this morning?
Good, 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 good. So, Sean, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Everybody wants to know, why can Bitcoin not move out of this $20,000 range? It goes up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little. We're not seeing any moves at the moment. Why is the market so stagnant in crypto?
Yeah, boring and crypto are not usually two words you hear in the same sentence, right?
No.
I'm
sure it's a relief to some people who are sick of the volatility, but I just think it is boring, right?
Yeah, I think the market has been a bit boring over the last while, which is a welcome relief, I suppose. This year has been a tough year if you've been in crypto.
Right.
The market's down in total roughly around 65-odd%. That's the entire cryptocurrency market cap. Yeah. And when you're looking at investing in the crypto market, I mean, it's always, and it's any market, right? It's about risk versus reward. Right now, you're seeing this really high correlation to the NASDAQ, right? So the NASDAQ's this US index that is very tech heavy. So you've got all the big tech names, the likes of Microsoft, et cetera, that are included in that index. And it just seems to have emerged, right? When markets move down, there's the saying that correlations go to one, which means that everything seems to go down. And that seems to have happened here. And because cryptocurrencies act as, and this is a finance term, a high beta sort of asset class, which means that they sort of move more than traditional markets. You've just seen crypto move down more aggressively. So you are sitting at this $20,000 range. There's been a lot of talk and excitement around this Ethereum merge that's coming up. Coming back to what I mentioned a few moments ago, you've got to always look at that risk versus reward. The market's down 65%. Can it go down a little bit further? Of course. We are in very interesting times. Crypto has never lived through an inflationary period. Uh-oh. But if you start looking ahead now, 1 or 2 or 3 years, and you start looking at the opportunity here, so you've either got the scenario where inflation continues to roar out of control, which means that rands, dollars, pounds, they become a lot worth a lot less, and then crypto sort of fulfills this real vision that it has of being this alternative currency that isn't as inflationary.
Yeah.
Or inflation starts coming down, economic stimulus is injected into the economies again at some point in time. And I mean, we all know how much the cryptocurrency market loves bond buying and quantitative easing. And that could then be the rocket fuel to push crypto back up. So, I mean, I think if you're entering this market right now, you need to be looking long term. And if you are entering right now, I wouldn't go and put a massive investment in. I would gradually enter this market week by week, month over month, over the next 6 to 7 months, really.
So people always ask you this, and it's probably an unfair question to me to ask you, because it's almost like asking for financial advice, which I know you're not allowed to give, but is this a good time to get in?
Well, I mean, if you had to see something at a department store that was, let's say, 65% off, I mean, you'd go, wow, that's a good deal. And that's sort of like what you can see in the crypto markets now. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, that, you know, you've got to look at the all-time high, because that's what we're doing when we say we are 65% off the all-time highs. I mean, that's just some random sort of dot. But if you do believe that this is an asset class that's not going away, you know, you're currently sitting with a market that's less than $1 trillion, right? Just all the growth small cap stocks in the U.S. are $20 trillion. Right. So, I mean, if this is an asset class that's going to grow and become comparable to gold or anything like that, I mean, there's a long way to go here.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned something about this Ethereum merge. Tell us what that is and how it might happen and what it's going to mean to people who have Ethereum and what it's going to mean to the underlying technology.
Yeah, so this is probably the biggest development that is ever going to occur. Well, not ever, I suppose, but certainly up until this point in time in the crypto world. So you've got Ethereum moving from proof of stake to proof of work to proof of stake. Proof of work is sort of what you would have seen in a documentary, or what you would have heard when talking to friends about mining. Yeah. So you would mine Bitcoin, you would mine Ethereum to validate transactions on its blockchain, right? Or the respective cryptocurrency's blockchain. Cool. And with Ethereum now, it's moving to proof of stake. Now, without getting into the specifics, there's a couple of benefits of this. Firstly, you know, you would have heard about the environmental impact that Bitcoin and Ethereum have, right? So there's a significant amount of energy that's required when you engage in proof of work validation. Now, when Ethereum moves over to proof of stake, you'll have a 99.95% reduction in the energy usage of the network. So, I mean, that is colossal, right? I mean, you've got a lot of investors, investment funds in particular, that are focusing on greener investments. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, you've got the second largest cryptocurrency in existence with a market cap of over $200 billion. That's all of a sudden a greener investment, certainly a greener alternative to Bitcoin. So that's the one big opportunity here. The second thing is people don't really talk about inflation rates all that much when sort of outside of the traditional monetary system. But gold has an inflation rate of roughly around 2%, right? So that's new gold being mined, being introduced into the economy.
Okay.
Bitcoin's got an inflation rate kind of similar, around about 2.1%. Ethereum historically has had an inflation rate of about 4%. This upgrade lowers that inflation rate to zero. Not just to zero, but potentially even to a negative, negative 0.2%, right? Which means that you actually have more Ether, the cryptocurrency of the Ethereum network, being removed every year. And if you think about sort of, you know, that compared to the traditional markets where you've got more money entering the system every year, yeah. that could then end up, you know, being a big positive for Ethereum prices. So in a nutshell, that's sort of what's happening with that merge. And that's on the 14th of September. So it's not far away now.
Yeah, that's really good news. A lot of people who had a problem with crypto were complaining about the energy costs associated with it. So that would be tremendous. Just that energy saving is something worth looking at. How are those things that you were talking about with the themes that you were going to launch? How are those coming along? And the new, oh, by the way, the new Revix app. I can't believe we didn't start by talking about this. I downloaded your new app, and it is terrific. We've been asking about this for ages. We should have said this right at the beginning, Sean. This is terrific. Well done on the app.
Thank you. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into that.
Amazing.
I think, you know, the reason we haven't actually announced it properly is that we've been going through testing with our various users. So, Gareth, you're a user on the platform. You naturally got an email saying, listen, this is out now. We haven't officially launched it to the public, but, I mean, you can, of course, go to the App Store and download it. So please go ahead and do that. Try it out. Let us know if you've got any feedback. But, I mean, you're dealing with people's money, right? So you've got to spend a considerable amount of time testing, and that's exactly what we did. So we spent literally the last 7 months testing this app. So I'm very happy about launching that. Unfortunately, with regards to the themes, it's not bad news, but we're not going to be launching them this side of the year. We were really hoping to get them out in 2022, but it seems that they're going to be pushed to early 2023. But we've got some very exciting investment opportunities that are going to be coming along with that thematic product launch. So within those themes, and these aren't cryptocurrency products, these are actually sort of more e-commerce traditional investment products. But if you're wanting to invest in, let's say, space exploration or genomics or 5G technology or medical cannabis or AI, these are just some of the products that we're going to launch on the platform. And talking about of environmental concerns and, you know, sort of playing your part in that sense, we've also got a sustainability set of themes. So if you want to invest in, say, the circular economy or clean energy or clean water, these are all areas that we will offer on the platform. So, you know, stay tuned for that. We're hoping early next year, but unfortunately, we somewhat reliant on regulators here to give us the green light before we can move ahead.
Just one quick thing from Conga Chris. He says, Sean, would now be a good time to get into the USD coin. What do you see happening with the dollar, especially because of all the inflation that we've got in the US at the moment? I mean, Biden has just offered to pay off a whole lot of student loan to the tune of some couple of hundred billion dollars. That money doesn't come from nowhere. He's printing that money, which means that all the other money that's in the system is devalued by all of that extra money that he's printing. He's now pumped in trillions of dollars into the economy. Do you see the U.S. dollar going up or down in the long or short term? And, of course, again, this doesn't constitute financial advice, but Conga Chris wants to know what that means.
So I think you've always got to look at sort of relative to what, right? So if you're looking at the U.S. dollar, what is that relative to? Yeah. The U.S. dollar relative to the rand every single day of the week, right? Get into the U.S. dollar, USDC, USD coin that we offer on the platform is essentially a one-for-one backed stable coin. So you can go and you can buy that. It's the same as buying dollars, essentially. And then what I would recommend doing is, I mean, you can do this with Revix, is that you go and you put that into a savings vault, and essentially that's a 24-hour access savings product. So you can go and you put money in there, just like a savings account with your bank, and you can earn 9.25% currently, right, which is, you know, far higher than the South African inflation rate. And ultimately, then you're holding dollars instead of rands, and you are earning this really great interest. So that's, I mean, go over to our website, revix.com. You can learn more about that. We don't yet offer the savings product on our mobile app. That's actually launching in 2 weeks' time. So if you have the app, apologies for that. Rather just head over to the desktop site. Mm-hmm. And then, Gareth, you asked about the longer-term outlook for the dollar. Yeah. I mean, that is probably the biggest question that everyone is asking at the moment, because where is the dollar going to go, right? There's so many questions just in terms of the U.S. economy, this recent development with Biden writing off a tremendous amount of debt. I mean, we're in a weird position right now. Personally, I don't see the dollar strengthening that much more from where we are right now. It has been very strong. I mean, you're looking at euro parity right now. So you've got $1 equals 1 euro pretty much. We haven't seen that in a very, very long time. But having said that, I mean, the rand structurally depreciates every single year versus the dollar, right? I mean, our employment rate, should I say, our higher inflation rates on average relative to the US means that our currency just structurally depreciates over the long term. So yeah, I definitely would be pro sort of buying dollars over rands.
All right. Sean, good to see you. Thank you very much for your time today. You must go along to Revix if you haven't already. Go to Revix Invest on all the social media handles. And for more information, you can actually go to the website, revix.com. It is the smart way to invest in crypto, and test out the app too. It's really cool. I've got it on my phone now, and it's excellent. It's really, really user-friendly. It's terrific. I can't say enough good things about it. Thank you, Sean. Good to see you.
Great, guys. Thanks very much. Have a good rest of the day.
Cheers, cheers. Sean Saunders, Revix.com. It is just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. We'll be back in a moment or two. Don't go anywhere.
CliffCentral.com.